Lord today. 2 Timothy 1 and 5. 2 Timothy 1 and 5. Thank you for standing for the word of the Lord. Just one verse, and I'd like for us to read it together because of the mothers who are mentioned and the honor that the Apostle Paul is giving to them. And certainly they're deserving of it, just as all of our mothers here today, all of our women here today are deserving of that. When I call, let's read together. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So Paul is recognizing there was faith that was in your mother, Timothy, and in your grandmother. And now that faith is exhibited, displayed in evidence in your life. And Timothy, no doubt, could reflect on the influence of his mom and his grandmother and be thankful for it, just as we are thankful today for all of our mothers, grandmothers, and all of our ladies. God bless them richly. A loving legacy. Lots of legacy that could be left. And incredible to think that a billionaire could leave billions to his heirs. And because of that legacy, they never have to work a day in their life. To earn money, that is, to earn a wage. But what moms leave in a legacy is far greater. And we thank the Lord for it. You can be seated. God bless you. Things passed down from generation to generation, the heirlooms that are treasured by one generation may be forgotten by the next generation. But that's things. Those are things. Maybe costly things. Maybe mementos, maybe things of sentimental value. And they may not have the significance or the greater meaning of the next generation. But I thank God for the traditions of faith, the practices of faith that are passed on. I read how the ends of a roast were cut off before placed in the pan and then in the oven. And the child saw her mother do that, so that's what she did. And then the grandchildren saw their mother and grandmother do that, and so they did. And finally, somebody asked, why do we do that? Why do we cut the ends of the roast off before we put it in the pan? And the questions were asked, and finally the grandmother said, well, my pan was too small. And so rather than just cut off one end, I cut off both ends so that they would fit, the roast would fit in the pan. Interesting how those kinds of actions can be passed on from generation to generation. But we want to keep the good practices, the good traditions that help lead to faithfulness and service to God. And what we want to pass on to our children may be valuables as much as we would be able to afford, possessions as much as we would be able to give. But most important, a faith that is real, a faith that will live on, a faith that will take our children into the future. Praise God. Paul said, it dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, a faith that was genuine, a faith that was sincere, a faith that was real, a faith that could stand the tests of time. It dwelt, he said, in them. I'm thankful for divine dwelling. I'm thankful that there can be an unfeigned faith, a faith that is genuine. And it certainly was powerful and effective in Lois. And then in Eunice. It worked for them. They believed God. They claimed his word. They believed the promises of the Lord. They stood upon them. And thank God that faith continued to dwell in them, and it was passed on to Timothy, and it dwelt in him. I'm glad the word can dwell in us. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." Some things might be hidden in our hearts that we don't want there. Brother Sirstad talked about forgiveness and forgiveness directed to ourselves, and that there are things that may be hidden in our hearts that we need to forgive ourselves for. And thank God he extends that forgiveness to us. And the promise of forgiveness is there in his word. We can hide that in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. And I'm thankful that that promise can be there as well. In that same chapter of Psalms, the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses, 101 says, "I have refrained my feet," or "I've kept my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word." I'm thankful the word of the Lord can be hidden in our hearts. It can dwell there so that we can walk in the way of righteousness. We can walk in the path that the Lord would have us to be in, and we can stay active in the word of God as we walk in this world and refuse the worldliness that is all around us, determining we're going to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Praise God. His Spirit dwells within us. Talk about a divine dwelling that brings about power. God wanted a tabernacle. He told Moses and the Israelites, "Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." That's the Lord's desire. He wants to be a part of our lives. In the same book of Exodus 29 and 45, he said, "I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God." Thank the Lord that there would be that dwelling of the power and the presence of the Lord. He said, "I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." Hallelujah. I'm thankful that the Lord would make every effort, and would show forth his promise, would bring forth his presence, send fire among them, send his glory among them, because he wanted to dwell. Amen. And then ultimately, Jesus being God in the flesh, and how that John would write, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." Hallelujah. Praise God. Moses desiring to see the glory of God. "Show me your glory," was his request. And the Lord caused him to stay in a rock by a place by him, and his glory passed by. But praise God, there came that time on the mount that we call the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Lord was glorified. The power and the divinity shined through his humanity. And Moses was there to see that glory. The one that heard, "I am that I am," out of the burning bush, now sees for himself in the glory land. Praise God. Oh, does God know how to keep his promise? Yes, he does. Does God know how to show his power and his glory to benefit you? Yes, he does. You keep believing. You keep walking. You keep dwelling. Hallelujah. And let that power dwell in you so that you can know the power and glory of his goodness and the outpouring of his Spirit. Thankful the Lord promised, "I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." And we know it began at Jerusalem as the Lord directed his disciples to go. When the Lord ascended up on high and he sent his Spirit back, I'm thankful that Peter quoted from Joel, and the Spirit of God being poured out upon all flesh. Amen. There were those who were present not knowing what was going on. "What meaneth this?" they inquired. This is God pouring out his Spirit. And I'm thankful that his commitment and his desire is to continue to dwell with us. "I will dwell in them," he said, "and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." You are the temple of the living God. And thank the Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost can dwell within us. And he goes on with the promise, "I will be a father unto you. You will be my sons and daughters." Praise God. That faith can dwell in us. It dwelt in Timothy. He had the examples of his grandmother and mother to look at and to follow after. Their teaching and their training and the times of their life was not wasted on Timothy. He took it in. He absorbed it. He recognized the great value of it, and he continued on. I'm thankful that the Lord promised his truth endures to all generations. Praise God. I'm thankful that we can hold on to that word that endures forever. And 1,000 generations, the Bible says. 1,000 generations. It doesn't matter. It's not going to stop. It's not going to dry up. It's not going to be irrelevant. It's not going to be old-fashioned. Thank God, all generations can benefit from the truth of the word of the Lord. And I'm thankful that the parents of Timothy, the grandparents of Timothy, taught him that truth. Paul liked to address the aspect of generations. 2 Timothy 2:2, he told Timothy, you've heard from me among many witnesses. I like the way he establishes that it's spread out. It's not just a few here and there. There's been a great work of God that has gone forth. You've heard it from me, and there have been many witnesses who know this is true. And then I want you, Timothy, to teach it to others, to teach it to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul was interested in generations knowing this truth. And he mentions 4 generations in that verse of Scripture. And he mentions 3 generations when he tells Timothy, it's dwelling in you as well, your grandmother, your mother, and now Timothy, it's in you. Praise God. Just think about that. Was Lois one of the first believers? Was she there in Jerusalem when it was poured out? Was she numbered among the 3,000 that were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and received the Holy Ghost? Maybe she was. I don't know. But it could have come to her and to her household. And Lois could have been a child when it happened. And she grew up watching her mother serve God. And then it became something that she grabbed a hold of. And she was not going to let go. Praise God. I'm thrilled when these children receive the Holy Ghost. I'm excited when they put on a robe or overalls and they get in that water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Thank God it works. Thank God being born again is real. Thank God the power of the Lord can be displayed for every generation. Hallelujah. They each received their experience in the Lord. They each lived that power and presence of God. Now, Timothy's mother, the scripture says, was married to a Greek. Greeks promoted education. They made their language common. And it was written and many, many books published in it. I believe Timothy benefited from that education. I think he used that to serve the Lord. I think he was prolific in being able to convince others about the power of God. We don't know if Eunice's husband served God with her, but given her commitment, given her faithfulness, I'm convinced that he did. And how can someone refuse evidence like that? How can someone pass it up and just feel like it's not worth it, it's not real, it's not positive, it's not powerful? Amen. But thank God she was diligent in passing her faith on to her son Timothy. And Paul recognized that unfeigned faith is in you, Timothy. Twice he said it in the text, it's in thee. Thank God that it abided there. And Paul said he was persuaded of Timothy's sincere faith. Paul mentored Timothy. That's why there are 2 letters that are addressed to him from the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy 3:15, he said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You were a child when the Holy Scriptures were taught to you. God bless our Sunday school teachers. Let's give them a hand. They deserve our appreciation for all the work that they do in preparation, in presentation, in decorating, all that goes into it. Praise God. They're passing these truths on to children. From a child, Timothy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, and they're able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God they took the time to teach Timothy. They helped him to memorize. Now remember, the scriptures weren't available like we have them today. Bibles all over your home, Bibles here in the house of God. They didn't have those scriptures. But what they heard, they memorized. What they received, they kept. Praise God. And they passed it on to their children. The scriptures were taught to Timothy. Salvation is through faith in Christ Jesus. It will make thee wise. And that was the wisdom that was more important. The Greeks may have prized wisdom and then promoted it and taught about it and so on. But being wise unto salvation is what's going to last. That's what's most important. That's what's going to take you through every storm, every aspect of life, every difficulty that you face. Thank God that there would be that power and blessing that the Lord would impart through His Word. Lois and Eunice put a foundation of faith under Timothy, and Paul was able to build upon that. Praise God. Thank the Lord that it lasted. Thank the Lord that it was real. Paul called Timothy, my son in the faith. It didn't begin with him. It began with his mother and grandmother. And that's why Paul was able to write those letters to Timothy and advise him as a young minister and how he could do the work of God and be effective. Both letters begin with the same greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thank the Lord that he could point out that consistency, that faithfulness, that abundance, and know the stability of Timothy as he lived for the Lord. Amen. Thank God for grace, mercy, and peace. That's in short supply in this world today. But thank the Lord, we find it in the house of God. We find it in the word of the Lord. We find it in the move of the Holy Ghost in our lives and the power of God being displayed again and again as God shows his faithfulness. From Acts 16 on, Timothy is mentioned as part of Paul's missionary journeys. I wonder, did his grandmother live to see him active in the ministry? How proud was she? How thrilled was she? Was his mother still living to hear him preach and be in the church maybe that he pastored? Oh my. Timothy was a faithful worker with Paul and even sent by himself in certain areas to carry on the work. When Paul lists 35 laborers in Romans 16, he names Timothy as a work fellow. Oh, thank God for those who are willing to work for the Lord and desiring to be faithful. Praise God. And Paul told Timothy, I am persuaded that that unfeigned faith is in you also. Paul was persuaded. Praise God. I'm thankful that Paul could say, I'm persuaded. Nothing is going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul could say, I'm not ashamed to be suffering for the Lord Jesus. I believe and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That persuasion was there when he looked at Timothy, when he spoke to Timothy, when he taught Timothy. He knew that what he committed to him was going to continue on. Praise God. And what was it that persuaded Paul concerning Timothy? What did he see in him? What evidence was there? Obviously, along with that faithfulness, there was commitment. There was stability. There was the willingness to be a worker. Praise God. And there was that faithfulness. Paul wrote about faithful sayings. He said, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He recognized the Lord could make a change in people's lives. Praise God. And the Lord could be the Savior. A faithful saying, he went on to write. The living God is the Savior of us all. He also said, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Thank God for that hope that we have of those that we've said goodbye to are living in the presence of God, and we will join them at the sounding of the trumpet. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ rising first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. Ever be with the Lord. What a faithful saying. Hallelujah. And those faithful sayings were heard by his grandmother and by his mother and passed on to Timothy. Amen. Paul wrote, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. No doubt there were times that the Apostle Paul would look back to his conversion, look back to his sincerity and his commitment, and recognizing he needed truth. He needed to be changed. He needed to be born again. Not just the law, not just those aspects that would be required of him in the Old Testament, but born of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. And it happened to the Apostle Paul. And he said, I'm glad he counted me faithful. And now he wanted that faith to continue in Timothy. He charged Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. All of those challenges, all of that charge was necessary for Timothy to continue his faithfulness, because there's a future. Praise God. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The future of faith is what we've got to keep in mind. The future of faith is what we've got to hold on to. The future of faith is what we've got to believe in the face of all of the trouble, all of the difficulty, all of the confusion, all of the chaos, all of the threats that we have happening in our world today. I'm thankful there's a faith that can rise us up above all of that problem, all of those difficulties, and know God is going to see us through. Lois and Eunice lived their faith, and they received the promises of the Lord for themselves. And then they passed that faith on to Timothy. Praise God. They probably didn't realize how effective Timothy was going to be. They probably didn't realize how powerful his ministry would be. They didn't know that the great apostle Paul would take him under his wing, so to speak, and begin to mentor him, begin to talk with him, begin to show him how the effectiveness of the Word and the Spirit is going to be. Only eternity will reveal how many were impacted by Timothy's faithfulness. Amen. And they'll be so thrilled that they remained faithful and they passed it on. Praise God. And thank the Lord there are moms and dads today who are working in that faithfulness, unfeigned faith abiding within them. Unfeigned faith that is genuine, that is sincere, that is total, that is committed. Praise God. And they continue on. Hallelujah. And believing that God is going to do a work for their children. Believing that God is going to do a work for their grandchildren. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep serving. Keep working. Hallelujah. And let God show His power. And let God show His work. Because all of your efforts, all of your faithfulness is going to be worth it when you step into that heavenly realm. Hallelujah. And know the power of the Lord that is going to be revealed. Amen. Because final victory is going to be the result of faithfulness. Amen. The beast and the enemies of the Lord are going to make war against the Lamb. But the Lord of lords and the King of kings is going to overcome them. Hallelujah. That's the ultimate outcome. That's the end of the book. That's the final report. Praise God. And they that are with him. Oh, I love to read it. I love to know the challenge that's there. I love to know that it's going to happen. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Praise God. No, I want to be numbered among that group. I want to be in there to see the Lord overcome, the Lamb, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, all of the titles that are mentioned of him in Revelation. Thank God he is going to have final victory. Praise God. Amen. And it will be worth every effort that you have put forth. It will be worth every time that you have been faithful. Praise God. Every effort that you have put forth, every commitment that you have made. I know that there are plans, no doubt, for a special meal for our mothers, for our ladies. I know that there are things that you have planned, a restaurant that you're going to go to, or a special spread that you're going to make in your home. But think about this. There's a marriage supper that's awaiting you. Praise God. There's a place that you're going to gather. There's going to be a time that you're going to be there, sitting down in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And all who have been faithful through the years, all who are named in Hebrews 11, all that you can name as well in your lifetime, praise God, and know that you're going to be there with them. Praise God. Oh, what a thrill it's going to be to hear that multitude. Sound of many waters, the sound of mighty thunderings. Praise God, as the praises ascend in the presence of the Lord, and we will be there as a part of it because we're faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank God that we can be faithful. Stand now, please. He is faithful and just. Amen. Man would be untrue. In fact, Paul said, let every man be a liar. But God is faithful. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful that we know the faithfulness of the Lord. And He's proven that to us again and again. When our hearts are hurting and the tears are flowing, God's faithful. When our bodies ache and our health is failing, God's faithful. When the account is empty and the checkbook is worthless, God's faithful. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what the difficulties are. Our God is faithful. Praise God. And we know the accounts that are written, like Hebrews 11. It tells about through faith, by faith, in faith. They made it through. They're heroes. But that didn't diminish the conflict. That didn't make it any easier. That didn't make the tears dry up. No, they came through because of faith. They kept going because of faith. Let's march right along with them. Let's determine we're going to be there. Let's make sure the reward is ours. Praise God and see the hand of the Lord. So to mothers, we say thank you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for passing it on. Thank you for keeping the faith and yet giving the faith. Thank you for fighting a good fight. Praise God. Someday we're going to finish our course, just like Paul and many, many others from the Old Testament, New Testament, and into our times. They finished their course. Praise God. And we're going to do the same in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Please come and pray here for a few minutes. I know a busy day awaits us. I know other things and gifts and so on are going to be shared. But I'd like for us to just gather in prayer here for a few minutes. And we're going to believe God together. We're going to trust God together. We're going to praise Him together. Hallelujah. Because that's how we can be faithful. That's how we can lift Him up. That's how we can praise Him. Hallelujah. Let's just give thanks to the Lord right now.